Scripture reading this evening will be from Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 1. This is our Lord speaking, and it's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Be reading from the New American Standard Bible. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went, and again he went about the sixth and ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all the day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group of the first to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last."
Good evening, brothers and sisters.
There we go. Can you hear me with this one? Okay. I asked Brother Dan to read the majority of the verses, so that should narrow my time down. trying to take advantage of the time and use it wisely. I want to talk to you all, as you have just read, as Brother Dan just read from Matthew chapter 20, about... Well, first of all the messages we study have a spiritual meaning and a spiritual purpose. And we're going to get to the spiritual purpose of what these verses mean to us, to the church. But I want us to see the earthly... I love the fact when you read the Bible that Jesus could pick out any subject that had to do with people's lives, and he could apply it to what he wanted to teach about the kingdom, the church. And here's a great example of that, of how he applies the way people would work back in the day. And the reason I bring this, because I just went through a whole month of this type of situation. A lot of us did who work for the government employees. Thank God, finally, we'll get paid coming this week. So hopefully, you know. But we in the United States, it's hard to understand what being unemployed is. Because if we do have a job and we get laid off, we have unemployment benefits. Most of us, the majority of us who have gone through that situation, have been able to request benefits. And we have received help during the months that we're still looking for a job. So we're able to get money back. Or we have different means of being able to find help in those tough situations. And it's interesting because in other places, it doesn't happen that way. It's a horrible situation. And in this case, I want us to understand what was going on when Jesus was talking to the people back then about this parable. They didn't have unemployment benefits. Those workers that this landowner who has a vineyard, who goes looking for workers, those workers who were waiting out in the marketplace, there wasn't any unemployment benefit. They had to go every morning and wait in line, waiting for somebody to hire them and to pay them a day's work. to pay them a day's work, which was a denarius back then, what you would get paid daily, and that was considered the fair, a fair payment for a day's work, a denarius. And what we got to understand is that what being unemployed, a lot of us have gone through that situation. Many of us here, especially the older adults, the more unemployed you are, the more time passes by, the harder the situation gets, because the bills start racking up. Your light bill comes in, your water bill comes in, your insurance, everything comes in. The first thing you get rid of is your cable, and the last thing you'd pay is your car payment, because they could come and take that away, but you need to pay your water, you need to pay your utilities, you need to buy food. If you got children, you got to get diapers. And it all starts adding up, and the more you're unemployed, the more days that pass, the harder it becomes. The more difficult it becomes, because the pressure is building up on you, because you're not bringing in that pay to provide for your family, to give them what they need. And it's not a pretty situation. It gets harder every day that passes by, and you're looking and you want to find a job. And this is the situation with these workers. All these workers here were getting up that same morning with the same desire. I need to provide for my family. I need to bring back that denarius so I could go and buy some bread, so that I could pay the rent, so that I could pay those bills and take care of my family. So looking at it in this perspective, those people who didn't get hired off the back and who were waiting, every hour that passed, they got more desperate. They were worried more. It wasn't a pretty picture. It wasn't like something, I took it easy. I didn't find a job today, but I'm still getting my check in the mail. No, it didn't work that way. It got harder. They were worried. You lost 3 hours in the day. What did you expect, the whole full day's pay? No. You expected to get paid only if they hired you from there, those hours you got paid. So there you had to cut down and say, well, I won't have enough money to pay this now. Or I'll just have enough to buy one loaf of bread for the family. So at every hour that passed, got worse. Those people that were going through that situation, they were getting more worried. The day was divided. A big thing that we got to remember is, you only worked when there was daylight. They didn't have electricity back then. Having light by gas or any other means was expensive, because you had to buy either well blubber to have or anything that could provide fire at night, right? It wasn't easy. It wasn't cheap. So obviously people didn't work at night. So you had a 12-hour workday, and that 12-hour started right when the sun comes up. And you had those 12 hours to work till the sun goes down. They had that time to work. After that, you couldn't work. It was dark. You had to wait till the next day. So every hour of that day when the sun was out counted. They had to be working. So here we see that the landowner goes out. He finds the first group who are working 12 hours. And when you look at it that way, if you're the first group, oh, you're not going to worry. You're guaranteed that at the end of the day, what's going to happen? You're going to go home with bread. You're going to get paid. So you're working. Okay, you're working in the hot sun. You're giving it all you got. And you know you're going to get paid and you're taking something home. But then those guys that get hired at the 3 hours, they've already lost 3 hours of work. They're good. They're hiring me, but I'm not going to get paid the same as a full day's work. Then another 3 hours pass. That would be the sixth hour, and that would be noon, because that would be, noontime, because six in the morning, 3 hours later, nine, three more hours later, noon. Noontime, these guys have six more hours to work. They get hired. So they go out and work. Another 3 hours pass. 3 o'clock. So here we have another group. They've only have 3 hours to work. They're already desperate. 9 hours of the day have gone by, and there's only 3 hours left. And they're not expecting to have what? A full pay, right? They're not expecting to get paid full. It's interesting. Although this month has passed and a lot of people have gone without pay and without work, they've already signed. The Congress has already, and President already proved that they're going to get back paid. So pretty much they got free vacation, and look at it that way. They're getting back paid. They're all getting back paid. We're all getting back paid. I was working, but without pay, but I'm still getting paid. But that's what happens. But these guys who've already lost 9 hours, they can't make that up. Those 9 hours that could have been, they could have earned something, is gone. So all they have left is 3 hours. Finally, the landowner goes out one more time, 1 hour before the 12 hours ends. And he finds more workers. And he brings them, tells them, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, nobody has hired us. Not that we don't want to work. Nobody has hired us. So he brings them in and he tells them, I'll give you what's fair. So they thought, well, we're just going to work an hour, so at least we'll be able to take a loaf of bread. So that they go and they work for an hour. And the interesting part is at the end, because when he calls, the landowner calls them back and starts paying them all. He starts paying from the people he hired last, and he pays them a denarius. He pays all of his workers a denarius. And the other workers start getting envious. They were expecting to get paid more. But he tells them, the landowner, I agreed with you on a denarius. And that's what we came to, so here is your denarius. He wasn't taking advantage of the first workers. He was being good to the ones, he was being good to those other workers who didn't have the opportunity to work all day. He was paying them the same amount so that they could go happy back home and give their families what they needed. He was being good, the landowner. And here's the thing, because we have to understand, because Jesus starts this parable saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The church, the kingdom, this is how it works in the church. Jesus, and look at it from our point of life. Okay, you're young, you're old, depends on at what age he calls you. Now, some of us have been lucky and he's called us early in our lifetime, right? Early as young people, and we've gotten to be part of the church from a very young age. Others he's called in the middle of their life, in their 30s, 40s, adults, you know. Others he's called at the very end of their lifetime, when they're older. But we have to understand the benefits of what it was to be called early in life, to be a Christian, to come to know God early in life, to understand the security. When we found Jesus early in our lifetime, we've had a security since the beginning of our lifetime that we know the purpose of our life and we know what we have waiting for us in heaven. We've had that wonderful hope in our lives, we who have been in the church since we were young, that we know what waits for us in heaven. That's the wonderful thing. If we found God early in our lives, we have that. I mean, people that have been in their 30s or 40s and then they found Jesus, they lived their lives like 30 or 40 years but struggled. It wasn't an easy life. They struggled because they didn't understand the wonderful things God had for them, or they weren't living them. And then if a person that lives 80 years and then realizes they didn't understand what the purpose of his life was, but then he realizes, hey, well, it was, all along it was Jesus. Jesus and his wonderful sacrifice for me was going to give me a wonderful life. They lived most of their life without Jesus, and in the end they got him, but who can say how many years we're going to live, right? Who can say, oh, I'm going to get to be 80, so I'm going to wait till I'm 80. When I prepared this class, I prepared it aimed at the younger folks, at the young kids, because a lot of the times when you're a young Christian, you're like, well, all my friends are doing this, they do this, but me, I'm going to church, I do this. They don't understand the wonderful blessings they have being in Christ. Understanding that the situations their friends are making or decisions they're doing isn't taking them down the right path. They're headed the wrong way that's going to cause them a lot of pain. In the end, that's what happens. A lot of young folks who didn't have Christ in their lives end up making bad decisions and taking wrong turns in life. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus when we have him in our lives, earlier in our lives. We make good decisions. If we obey his word and we follow his commandments, we start making good decisions. It's wonderful. It's not an easy life as a Christian. We have to work. We have to put our effort. We have to obey. We have to serve God. We have to serve him. But in the end, we're going to have a wonderful blessing. Eternal life in God in heaven. That's a wonderful blessing. We don't have that worry that, well, what's going to happen to me? No, we know what blessing we have waiting for us. That's why it's important that we understand that. And see, in the very last part, when he calls in the first ones, they're envious that he this good landowner helped these people. They were needing help. It's the same as a person. Oh, why would you be envious? God wants us, just like the classes Brother Tim has been teaching us, we have to have the same mentality as God. God wants all people to repent, and be baptized and come to know him. In the same way, we as Christians have to think the same way. I mean, I grew up in the church, and I have three other brothers who are no longer in the church. But I hope one day they come back to the church, because they're missing out on all the wonderful things God has been giving me because I stayed in the church, I obey him, and I follow him. And I hope one day they'll come back to the church. And that's the mentality we got to have. Our friends, our family members who aren't in the church, hope that one day they will change and they will come to the church and have the blessings. Before what? Before those 12 hours of their lifetime expire. And then once that time's up, it's up. And that's the whole purpose of this, of the parable of the workers in the vineyards, to understand that. Understand our situation, our blessing as Christians who are in the church now, who have already come to know Jesus, and the situation of people out in the world. The more that their life passes by without Jesus, the harder the life becomes. The worse it's going to get for them with living a life without Jesus. But the younger we're able to teach them, the sooner we find people and they come to know Jesus and they come to have that peace. What did these people have when they finally got hired? Peace. Not worries anymore. At least they could say, I'm going to work. At least I'll be able to take something home. At least I'll be able to take some bread. You know, it's sad being looking back at your life and saying, well, just wasted 40, 50 years of my life. But if you've lived those years, the years you live in Christ, they're wonderful. You could look at them with great joy and say, hey, I've been in Jesus and I know what my life is all about. I know the purpose of my life. Now that I have Jesus in my life. And it's important that we have that same love as our Savior Jesus Christ has for everybody. Jesus Christ wants to save everybody. We have to have that same love. Because in the end, they come and they complain to the landowner in verse 11. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day? But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Our boss, God, Jesus Christ, is good. He has the same payment for all of us, eternal life. Amen, brother, eternal life. And some of us have the hard labor. You shouldn't look at it as a hard labor. On the contrary, the privilege of serving our King. The privilege of being able to look back in your life and say, I've served the King. I've worked in his vineyard. And I'm going to receive my pay, the eternal life. And so is my other brother who hasn't worked as much, but he's here working alongside of me in the vineyard. We're going to go to heaven, and we're going to have eternity beside our Savior. It's wonderful to see that, because if we don't see it that way, we're going to be envious. And that's what Jesus tells them. Why do you have a bad eye? In other words, they were envious. Is it not lawful to me, or is your eye evil because I am good? There's another example where we see this envy from this type of situation. And I want you all to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. We're going to read in Luke chapter 15. Verse 25 through 30. We're going to read from the parable of the lost son from Luke chapter 15, verse 25 through 30. But before we, I just got to pay attention to the clock. Just want to make sure just to stay on time. And the parable of the lost son, we have all read it, and the most of us have, maybe one or two persons in here might not. So I'm going to give a quick refresher. A father has two sons, or he probably had more, but he had an older son and the youngest son. And his youngest son goes up to him and says, "Father, give me the part of your wealth that belongs to me that you're going to give me, inherit to me later on." The oldest son was going to receive most of it, of the inheritance, but the younger son was going to receive something too. So the father, okay, agrees with him and gives him the part. And he does what every young kid does when he receives his first paycheck. He just goes and spends it most of the time and buys some new tennis or buys. He doesn't think about the future. He just goes and spends it, and he spends it on things he shouldn't have. He goes far away. He goes and he parties. He has a crazy life until finally that money runs out. Finally, that money runs out, and he's stuck in a horrible situation. He's unemployed. He doesn't have any more money. The people he thought were his friends because he was having fun with disappeared. They were just after having fun with him when he had money because he was paying for it. But after it was gone, bye-bye. They disappeared, so he had to look for a job. And he came out finding a job, but it was the most dishonorable job a Jewish person could have, feeding pigs. Feeding pigs, because for the Jews, the pig was against the law. They couldn't have contact with pigs, with swine. They couldn't. So this is the only job he was able to get, the most dishonorable job that there was he had to do, feeding pigs. He got to such a level. And then he realized, hey, what am I doing? His mind clicked, and what am I doing here feeding pigs? He realized, hey, I made a mistake. I got to go back to my father and ask forgiveness and tell him, I know I did something wrong, but at least make me like one of your servants. Because he knew that at least his servants had what? Had food. Had real food on the table, because he was trying to eat what? The pig's food. He would look at that pig's food and imagine that he was so hungry that when he saw the food that they were throwing at the pigs, he was desiring to eat that. He wanted to eat that. That's how bad his situation had gotten. But he realized that back at his father's house, there was a possibility he could have it better. So he ends up going back to his father, repented about what he had done, and he goes to his father and says, I have sinned against you and against God, you know, for what I have done. And he says, make me like one of your servants. So we know the part of the joy that the father has to see his son come back. He's joyful that his son has returned. He was off, dead in sin, but he came back. He came back and he realized where he had messed up. So his father celebrates. He's so happy, he celebrates, and he goes and he tells them to go kill the fattened cow. That was probably the cow they were waiting for all year for a big celebration, and that's when they were going to celebrate. This was a reason for celebrating. His son had returned. He had realized what he had done wrong, and he was repented, and he had come back, and he was willing, and he was even saying, make me a servant. I don't deserve to be your son. He knew he had messed up. Well, here we're going to read in Luke chapter 5, verse 25 through 30, to see the reaction of the older brother. Because we're going to see the same reaction that the laborers who had worked almost all day had. You'll see that same type of reaction in the older brother of the lost son. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 25 through 30. It says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received them safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in," the older brother. "Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, his father, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Here we see the older son. Well, why have you done this, you know? He understood what his brother had gone off and did. What he had did with what his father had given him, you know? But what worried more of, what was the worry that his father had? That he was never going to return home. That he was going to end up what? Dead. He was worried that it was going to be too late and his son wasn't going to realize his bad choice, and was going to probably be too arrogant to accept this situation, and he would never see him again. But he ended up, his son ended up realizing his mistake and coming back. And that's why the father had so much joy. That's why God has so much joy when we come back to him, when we repent of our sins. Because what was our fate? What was going to happen at the 12th hour when our life ends? Because some of us don't know how long it is. What? If we don't find Jesus, it's an eternity where? In hell. An eternity in hell if we don't find Jesus before our time's up. But here, this father was glad his son was back. And he's telling his older son, "I know you've always been here with me. You've always been a faithful son, obedient." And he tells him the advantage of that. He tells him, "So you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours." We as Christians have a wonderful blessing in God. I mean, apart from what we have guaranteed is his protection through our lives, that he's going to be there providing for us, we have all his spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ. We have all that peace, all that joy, all the wonderful hope that he gives us. We don't have the desperation that many people that don't have Christ end up having. End up taking their lives, end up giving up to something else. We have a wonderful hope when we find Jesus. We have all the Father's blessings. We have everything we need with our Father. And that's the blessing of being in Christ. That's the blessing of being a full-time worker that's been working earlier. We have a life insurance, pretty much. Because we know that at the end, guess what? We're going to get a big payout up in heaven. Eternity with God. I mean, those people that don't have life insurance and they end up dying, guess what happens? Problems get left behind. But we have our hopes guaranteed when we're in Christ. That's the wonderful thing. And we see that joy that God has. We have a Father. We have a God that's good. He wants to save everybody. And being out of Jesus Christ is not the good. It's not the grass isn't greener on that other side, like the terminology we sometimes use. It's not. The Bible even describes it as a dead, arid, horrible place spiritually. Why? Because you don't have God's blessings when you're over there. But when we're in Christ, we're filled with his blessings. We have a life that's worth living, a wonderful life. And we might have issues physically, financially or stuff, but our spiritual life, that's protected. Our eternal life, that's guaranteed right there if we're faithful to God. We have something wonderful to look forward to. Let's finish. I got about 5 more minutes to go. So 5 more minutes. I'm trying. When I was back in Laredo, I used to preach more often Wednesdays and Sundays. So I was used to the 30-minute, 35 in between there. It was more. I was more used to it. But since I haven't done it in a while, I don't want to go overboard. So I'm trying to narrow it down. Let's open our Bibles first to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In the world. Paul is describing the situation of the Christian Gentiles before they had found Jesus Christ. He was describing their situation before they came to Jesus. Okay? It wasn't a pretty situation. It was a horrible situation. When you look at it, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no what? No hope. Having no hope. I mean, it's horrible when you live a life with no hope. A lot of people don't have it, and guess what? They end up taking their lives. But it says here, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now we have Christ in our lives. Now we have hope. Now we have God in the world. You know, wherever we go, God's going to be there by our side. Now we have the promises, the covenant with God. A new covenant through the blood of who? Of Christ. We have wonderful things now. Now that we have found Jesus. That's the wonderful situation. And we got to look at it that way. Because, I mean, sometimes the first time I read Matthew chapter 20 about the laborers, I'm like, well, those guys got lucky because they didn't get to work. No. That's the way we think now. You know, because everybody likes to stay at home and sit on the couch and watch TV. Nah, it didn't happen that way. It was different. It was desperation. If you didn't work, it was going to be a horrible day for you or a horrible life. And not only for you, but for those you love. And that's the way we have to look at things. When we look at the situation of people that don't have Jesus in them, it's not a pretty thing. I mean, it's beautiful when we have Jesus in our lives. We have promises. We have hope. We have all the things. The Father says, you have everything. When we ask our Father for help in prayer, things that we really need, spiritual things, he'll respond. When we ask him for real things that we need, not things for our things for our spiritual lives, not for our carnal life. When we're looking for better our spiritual lives, our relationship with him, we got it. Everything that we need. Peace, joy, all those wonderful things that come from him. We have him in Christ. Okay, one more minute left. 4 more minutes. There you go. Thank you, brother. Let's finish by opening our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 31 through 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 through 33. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. He blesses the home of the just. When we obey God, when we follow, when we seek his kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything changes. But that has to be the first thing we're seeking, right? Seek ye first. It's not just seek the kingdom. No, it's seek ye first, right? In other words, that means that the first thing we got to put as priority in our lives is what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then will come what? Our work, our other stuff. But the first thing that has to come in our lives has to be God. His kingdom, his righteousness. If we seek those things first, if we seek that first, guess what? Everything else falls into place. God will know what he need, what we need. He provides. He provides for us. And we'll have that peace. We'll have that security. I mean, we'll have a wonderful life in Christ, because that's what he wants us to have, a wonderful life in him, knowing that God is there. He's protecting us. He's guiding us. And that's the best thing to have. I mean, just remember when you're in that situation, when we don't have a job, we start worrying, we start getting depressed, we start losing hope. You know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I already cut the cable. They're coming to pick up my car next week because I didn't make the payments, or next month. It starts getting worse, right? That's the same way it is. When we don't have Christ in our lives, situation starts getting worse. But once we start working and we start serving the Lord, it's going to be a wonderful life from there. And we know he's going to be there to take care of us and guide us. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your attention. And may God bless you.